Jakarta, Indonesia. Here is Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz. Online streaming, voanews.id and RRI Digital Mobile Application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. From
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Listener, you can listen to us on voinews.id, RRI Digital, and shortwave broadcast on 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz. Right now, you are listening to the highlights of the week. It presents you events that happened in Indonesia for this week. President Prabowo Subianto affirms his commitment to maintaining good relations with Brunei Darussalam. Dora Pardede has the details.
Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto said his working visit to Brunei Darussalam this time is very important for both countries. The president stated this when giving a speech at a bilateral meeting between the two countries in Bandar Sri Begawan Wednesday. President Prabowo also emphasized his commitment to maintaining good relation with Brunei Darussalam. According to him, with cooperation, Indonesia and Brunei can face global uncertainty.
Hanya dengan kerjasama di antara kita.
Only with cooperation between us as fellow ASEAN members can we together protect each other amidst global uncertainty and regional uncertainty.
Ketidakpastian regional juga.
During his visit to Brunei Darussalam, President Prabowo held a bilateral meeting with delegation from each country to discuss strengthening cooperation in various fields. He also received the Brunei Darussalam National Star of Greatness Award, Darjah Kerabat Laila Utama Yang Amat Dihormati, which was awarded directly by Sultan Hasanal Bolkiah. Dora Pardede for Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world.
Indonesia invites member state of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation or OIC to take concrete action for Palestine at the opening of the 19th Parliamentary Union of the OIC member states in Jakarta on Wednesday. Andi Romdoni has the detail.
Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto invited member states of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, OIC, to take concrete action in supporting Palestine. In his speech at the opening of the 19th Parliamentary Union of the OIC member states, PUIC, in Jakarta Wednesday, he stated that Palestine needs support and real action.
Beberapa hari yang lalu saya mendapat kehormatan berbicara di hadapan
A few days ago, I had the honor to speak before the Turkish Parliament in Ankara. In that forum, I reaffirmed the commitment of Indonesia, which will never stop to defend the rights of the Palestinian people to independence. I repeat it again in this forum. The time has come. Let us not just discuss. Let us not draft resolutions anymore. The Palestinian people have been victims for too long. The Palestinian people need a partiality, a real action. President Prabowo Subianto emphasized that Indonesia will continue to stand with Palestine. According to him, if the Islamic world that represents a quarter of the world's humanity can unite, the struggle for Palestinian independence will be stronger. He also invited OIC member countries to overcome differences, suspicions, and rivalries among member states. Meanwhile, the Speaker of the Indonesian House of Representatives, Puan Maharani, invited all parties to reject the idea of relocating Palestinians from Gaza. She also invited the parliaments of OIC countries to mobilize more countries' recognition towards the state of Palestine and a peaceful settlement through the two-state solution.
Kita harus menolak Gagasan merelokasi rakyat.
We must reject the idea of relocating the Palestinian people from the Gaza Strip. Gaza belongs to the Palestinian people. Gaza must be rebuilt not only with buildings and walls, but also with dignity, justice, and hope.
Juga dengan harga diri, keadilan, dan harapan.
The 19th Parliamentary Union of the OIC Member States, PUIC, was held in Jakarta from 12 to 15 May 2025. The conference, held to coincide with the 25th anniversary of PUIC, took theme Good Governance and Strong Institutions as Pillars of Resilience. It was attended by 450 parliamentary delegates from OIC member states, including 10 observer states.
The International Day of Families 2025 highlighted the importance of family-oriented policies for sustainable development. Regarding this matter, sociologist of Jakarta State University, Rahmat Hidayat, in the VOI Talk program with RRI Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta on Wednesday, highlighted the importance of strengthening the basic foundations in the family, including strengthening values, norms, and education. He said such efforts play important role in the economic, political, and even ideological landscape.
Indonesia is a Muslim country. This is very important to reinforce and to make a strong again, because this is very important. We have we're facing many problems, not only in Indonesia, I think, we're facing the global changing situation from US, from Europe, in the world. And if the family have the strong foundation, the strong basic in the education, in the value, in the norms, I think the family, they will exist in some whatever the situation in the world. That's very important, I think.
The International Day of Families 2025 is commemorated every May 15th. The theme of this year's commemoration is set toward the Second World Summit for Social Development next November in Qatar. It presents a crucial opportunity to strengthen commitments to poverty eradication, decent work, and social inclusion. The first summit produced the 1995 Copenhagen Declaration, which recognized families as the foundation of society and underscored the need of work-family balance and equal partnership within households. The International Day of Families 2025 observance emphasized the importance of integrating family-focused policies into national development agendas to address mega trends such as technological transformation, demographic shift, urbanization, migration, and climate change. Somalia highlights 25 years of PUIC and the challenge of democratic resilience. Anu Granov has the report.
Deputy Speaker of the Federal Parliament of Somalia, Abdullah Omar Absir, delivered a deep reflection on 25 years of shared progress and interparliamentary solidarity among the member states of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, or OIC, at the 19th session of the Conference of the Parliamentary Union of the OIC Member States, or PUIC, in Jakarta on Tuesday, May 15, 2025. He emphasized that the PUIC has grown into a platform of unity and strength, representing the voices of Muslim countries from across the globe.
The theme of this year's conference, Good Governance and Strong Institutions as Pillars of Resilience, is both timely and deeply relevant. In a world confronting climate crisis, economic fragility, armed conflict, youth unemployment, and erosion of public trust, the strength of our nation lies not only in material wealth, but in the resilience of our governance systems and the legitimacy of our institutions.
Abdullah Omar Absir also encouraged stronger cooperation among PUIC members countries through enhanced legislative capacity. knowledge exchange, and innovative collaboration that involves youth and civil society in the democratic process. The 19th PYC conference in Jakarta became a key moment to strengthen parliamentary cooperation among OIC countries and reaffirm their commitment to fair governance based on Islamic values.
Indonesian Minister of Communication and Digital Affairs Mutia Hafid highlights the growing challenges to press freedom in the digital media era. Ofra has the detail.
Indonesian Minister of Communication and Digital Affairs Mutia Hafid stated that press freedom in Indonesia is facing new challenges in the digital media era. At the handover ceremony for the new press council members in Jakarta on Wednesday, she said the rapid and massive flow of information must be balanced with the accurate sorting and delivery of news in accordance with the Journalistic Code of Ethics. The challenges facing the press are evident, especially in the new media era. We are racing against an overwhelming amount of information in the public sphere. While we fully support freedom of expressions, we must also be cautious to filter accurate information that aligns with journalistic ethics in order to provide the public with truthful news. Minister Mutia Hafid emphasized that maintaining a healthy journalistic environment is the responsibility of more than just the press council. She called for strong collaborations among the governments, civil society, academia, and the digital industry, and expressed hope that this cooperation would be key to addressing the increasingly complex challenges of the modern media landscape.
Minister of Population and Family Development Wi Haji inaugurated the child-friendly foster care park at the Ministry of Population and Family Development in Jakarta on Thursday. Tamasya is a form of commitment and real concern from the government in supporting the strengthening of quality early childhood care services in line with the spirit of realizing Indonesia Emas 2025 through family development. In the inauguration, of the minister explained that with Tamasya or this child care center, the government ensures that parents can work in peace and children remain cheerful.
Karena ini kebutuhan real yang hari ini dibutuhkan oleh banyak rakyat Indonesia.
Because of the real needs that are needed today by many Indonesian people, the spirit is that today the state is trying to be present. The government ensures that parents can work in peace and their children remain happy. Minister Wi Haji hopes that the Tamasya program will not only be implemented in various ministries, but also in various offices, factories, markets, malls, and other public places. He also ensured that in Tamasya, children are well cared for by certified caregivers. Listener, you are still listening to The Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto reaffirmed his strong commitment to strengthening the strategic partnership between Indonesia and Australia. He made the statement during the official visit of Australian Prime Minister Anthony Albanese at the Merdeka Palace, Jakarta on Wednesday afternoon. President Prabowo emphasized that Australia is not only a close neighbor, but also an important strategic partner in the region. In the bilateral meeting, both leaders agreed to continue cooperation in key areas including defense, economy, energy, and education.
Dalam pertemuan hari ini, saya dan Perdana Menteri Albanese.
In today's meeting, Prime Minister Albanese and I discussed the progress of bilateral relations between our two countries. We agreed to continue the initiatives that have been jointly agreed upon across various sectors. Under the government I lead, we will pursue the implementation of the commitments that have been made, including the finalization of the Comprehensive Strategic Partnership Action Plan for the 2025-2029 period.
Rencana Aksi Kemitraan Strategis Komprehensif periode 2025-2029.
Moreover, President Prabowo Subianto also expressed his appreciation for Australia's support of Indonesia's bid to join the CPTPP or Comprehensive and Progressive Agreement for Trans-Pacific Partnership. and the OECD, Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development. He also welcomed Australia's policies on long-term visas and support for empowering farmers, micro, small and medium enterprises, and the transition to clean energy. The meeting marked a renewed effort to deepen bilateral ties amid global uncertainties. The 19th Conference of the Parliamentary Union of OIC member states has been concluded. The conference produced 17 points of the Jakarta Declaration on the global situation and conditions, starting from strengthening cooperation between OIC member states to resolving the Palestinian conflict. Adi Ramdoni has the detail.
The 19th Conference of the Parliamentary Union of the OIC Member States, PUIC, held in Jakarta on 12 to 15 May, resulted in a 17-point joint statement in the Jakarta Declaration. The declaration was read by the chairman of the Interparliamentary Cooperation Agency of the Indonesian House of Representatives, Mardani Alisera, at the closing ceremony of the conference Thursday. In his speech, Mardani Alisera said that representatives of the conference reaffirmed the obligation to respect the objectives and principles of the OIC Charter, the UN Charter, and international law. The PUIC members are also aware of the fact that the world and its global order are at critical point because wars and conflicts continue to increase, and the narrow interests of each country justify unilateral and arbitrary actions, while the values of cooperation and unity are gradually eroded. The Parliamentary Union also believes in the importance of strengthening Islamic unity and brotherhood to face various global challenges and provide opportunities to lead the global order. The PUIC, according to Mardani, also expressed concern with the fact that although there are many calls from the UN and the international community for peace in Palestine, Israeli military operations continue.
Concerned to the fact that despite numerous calls from the UN and international community, the order issued on 26 January 2024 by the International Court of Justice indicating provisional measure against Israel in the case concerning the application of the Convention of the Prevention and Punishment of the Crime of Genocide, South Africa versus Israel, along with the International Criminal Court, warrant of arrest to Benjamin Netanyahu and Yoav Gallant on allegation of war crimes and crime against humanity, as well as the ceasefire agreement between conflicting parties in Gaza, the Israeli military operation in Gaza continues to unabated and remain indiscriminate and disproportionate in its scale.
The Parliamentary Union Conference also expressed concern over the rise of Islamophobia in the world due to global public anger over Israeli attacks. In addition, according to Mardani Alisera, the conference express concern that despite the existence of the PUIC for decades, Muslims as a significant part of the world's population continue to face considerable difficulties.
Muslims, who constitute a significant portion of the world population, continue to face considerable hardship, as evident in the poverty figures among OIC member states, and the challenge of discrimination, xenophobia, and the lack of legal, political, economic, social, and cultural rights endured by Muslim minority in non-OIC member countries.
Furthermore, according to Mardani, PUIC also underlines the need for reflection as well as collective and individual efforts towards sustainable progress and reform by PUIC member countries. In addition, according to him, the Jakarta Declaration also recognizes the importance of reform in the provision of public sector services, improving good governance, and developing service-oriented state institutions for sustainable domestic reform and improving the management of national wealth, which creates greater influence for Muslim countries at the global level.
Indonesia's parliament, through Inter-Parliamentary Cooperation Agency, is stepping up its international diplomacy by forging stronger trade and medical ties with Iran and Senegal during the 19th Parliamentary Union of Islamic Countries Conference in Jakarta. Ofra has the detail.
The Interparliamentary Cooperation Agency of the Indonesian House of Representatives held bilateral meetings with Iran, Senegal, and the Indonesian Red Crescent on the sidelines of the 19th Parliamentary Union of Islamic Countries Conference on Thursday in Jakarta. The meetings aimed to strengthen cooperation in the fields of trade, health, and humanitarian efforts. Vice Chair of Interparliamentary Cooperation Agency, Ravindra Erlangga, stated that Senegal is interested in Indonesia's top export products such as pulp and paper, steel, oleochemicals, and vegetable oil. Meanwhile, Iran expressed strong interest in medical collaborations, including hospital development and the use of robotic surgery technology.
We hope our trade growth will continue to rise, especially through the preferential trade agreement, which has actually already been signed. Some of the main products they need from Indonesia include pulp and paper, steel, oleochemicals, and vegetable oil-based products. These are key import commodities for Senegal. As for our meeting with the Iranian delegation, they expressed a strong desire for collaboration, especially in the medical field. They even offered to explore the possibility of building hospitals together. Iran has strong capabilities in the health sector, particularly in robotic surgery, which many people don't know about it.
Ravindra also emphasized that this meeting not only strengthened bilateral ties, but also reaffirmed Indonesia's role as a strategic partner in global issues, such as fair trade and humanitarian solidarity. Through parliamentary diplomacy, Indonesia is committed to voicing the shared interests of developing countries and helping find solutions to international humanitarian crises.
Anthony Albanese expresses Australia's support for Indonesia's accession to the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development and the Comprehensive and Progressive Agreement for Trans-Pacific Partnership. Andy Ramdhani has the detail.
Australian Prime Minister Anthony Albanese Thursday expressed Australia's support for Indonesia to join the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, OECD, and the Comprehensive and Progressive Agreement for Trans-Pacific Partnership, CPTPP. He conveyed this in a joint press statement after meeting President Prabowo Subianto in Jakarta. Anthony Albanese said that Australia and Indonesia, together with all Pacific countries, share a commitment to maintaining peace in the region.
And I assure you, Mr. President, of Australia's support for your joining the OECD as well as your accession to the CPTPP. Security is built on the sovereignty of every nation and for the rules that govern all nations. And all of us who have benefited from this framework share a responsibility to maintain it and strengthen it, so that the future of our region is shaped by shared opportunity and secured through collective responsibility.
On September 19, 2024, Indonesia officially sent an official letter of request to join the Comprehensive and Progressive Agreement for Trans-Pacific Partnership, CPTPP. At that time, Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs Airlangga Hartarto said that Indonesia's membership in the CPTPP would not only provide benefits for Indonesia, but also for the CPTPP, which would open up new opportunities and deepen modern regional integration, including increasing economic integration with ASEAN. On the other hand, Indonesia is also undergoing the accession process at the OECD. In February 2025, Airlangga Hartarto announced the progress of Indonesia's accession process at the OECD and said that Indonesia was completing an initial cross-sector memorandum. This aims to harmonize a number of regulations with international standards, including anti-corruption regulations.
Indonesia's forestry minister highlights a strong national commitment to human resources development and green job opportunities during the graduation ceremony of state forestry school students in Makassar. Ofra has the detail.
Indonesian Minister of Forestry Raja Juli Antoni officially released the 2025 graduates of State Forestry Vocational Schools during a ceremony held at the school in Makassar, attended by representatives from forestry schools across the country on Thursday. In his speech, Minister Raja Juli emphasized the importance of building a young forestry generation that is not only skilled but also has wide access to employment opportunities, part of Indonesia's national strategy to strengthen human resource development.
This is part of my commitment as a cabinet member under President Prabowo Subianto, who prioritizes and stresses the importance of human resources development. Therefore, within the authority I hold, I will continue to support and improve the existence of state forestry vocational schools in cities across Indonesia. This includes ensuring broad access for their alumni to work both within the ministry and in the private forestry sector.
The minister also reminded the audience that forests are not a legacy from past generations, but a loan from the future and idea that reflects Indonesia's vision of sustainability and intergenerational responsibility. By strengthening vocational forestry education, Indonesia reinforces its commitment to building a green job ecosystem while preserving the environment on both a national and global scale.
Indonesia focuses on resolving food problems to achieve food independence. This was conveyed by Indonesian Vice President Gibran Rakabuming Raka at the closing of the 15th Islamic Community Congress in Medan, North Sumatra. In his speech, Gibran said the government had resolved food problems such as eradicating the fertilizer mafia and building dams. For the fertilizer problem, Gibran explained that the government had cut 145 regulations that were difficult, while for dams, the government had budgeted 124 trillion rupiah to repair damaged dam irrigation.
Kita punya 53 bendungan baru, 45 diantaranya sudah bisa mengairi.
We have 53 new dams, 45 of which can irrigate our agricultural land, and there are also preparations, a budget of 12 trillion for the construction and repair of irrigation. So earlier there were dams and others, but the irrigation was damaged. So this year we will repair all of them. Then there are 145 regulations that have been cut, overlapping regulations that make it difficult or simplified, especially for fertilizer, because previously if you meet farmers who complain about fertilizer, expensive fertilizer, no fertilizer, these regulations have been cut.
Ketemu petani yang dikeluhkan pupuk mahal, pupuk tidak ada. Ini regulasinya sudah dipangkas.
Moreover, the Vice President further explained that in order to achieve food independence, the government has also built a fair downstream ecosystem for agriculture and marine affairs involving farmers, livestock breeders, fishermen, weed farmers, and micro, small, and medium enterprises. Gibran also emphasized that the government cannot work alone and needs a joint movement from all components of society for the progress of the nation. The Ministry of Communication and Digital through the Directorate General for Digital Space Oversight has launched a mobile digital literacy campaign across 30 cities in Indonesia. Speaking on Thursday evening, Director General for Digital Space Oversight Alexander Sabar explained the campaign aims to provide direct education to communities, particularly in areas that are less accessible to online media information regarding the dangers of online gambling.
Jadi kegiatan ini salah satu upaya kita untuk memberikan.
This initiative is one of our efforts to educate all levels of society, especially those in areas that may not have access to information through online media. From the Ministry of Communication and Digital, we strongly support this activity and encourage other stakeholders to actively participate in our effort to promote digital literacy among our communities. Ministry of Communication and Digital is also implementing other concrete measures, including continuous effort to block access to and shut down online gambling sites. Additionally, it is strengthening cross-sector collaboration with key stakeholders, ranging from law enforcement agencies to electronic system providers. The public is also encouraged to take part by reporting harmful digital content through the Content ID complaint service. The ministry also hopes that all elements of society will play an active role in spreading digital literacy and rejecting all forms of negative activities in the digital space, especially online gambling. Creative economy, seen as a key solution to prevent layoff and boost employment in Indonesia. Andi Ramdoni has the details.
Indonesia is being urged to focus on the creative economy to help prevent job losses that could result from changes in the U.S. trade policy. Speaking on the Void Talk program with NRA Voice of Indonesia, researcher from National Research and Innovation Agency, Nawawi, on Wednesday said the government's upcoming layoff task force should work with companies and workers to find solutions beyond layoffs.
The layoff task force, of course, should working with the industry how to at least not to take the layoff as the first priority, because you know what, because we also need a job for our workers. That's why there should be a mitigation how to deal with this. One of them, I think, the government also should support the development of the creative industry dealing with the digital economy and so on, because now I think this is one of the new sector that promising to our economy and can also be alternative for those who have been laid off to start to get jobs or to start business and to change their mindset, not looking for job but how to create the jobs.
He added that Indonesia has strong potential in this sector and that it could also support small and medium-sized businesses, which helped the economy stay afloat during the COVID-19 pandemic. Nawawi also said the task force should focus on improving worker skills, especially in the informal sector, so that more Indonesians can find better jobs and income.
Listener, that was our highlight of the week.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast via shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Listener, let's join our interview on Voi Talk with Aminuddin Aziz, Director of National Library of the Republic of Indonesia, hosted by Ahmad Faisal, about library role in educating people to increase understanding in Indonesia. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Listener, finally, you are still with me, Ahmad Faisal. And as we mentioned before, we have such special interview, listeners. This is also related to Voi Talk. And you know that library has important role to educate many people, listeners. That's why, related to this, we are going to interview Director of National Library of the Republic of Indonesia, Bapak Aminuddin Aziz. And it is also
related to libraries' role in educating people to increase literacy understanding in Indonesia. And we have already we have been connected with Bapak Aminuddin Aziz. Assalamualaikum, selamat pagi Pak Aminuddin Aziz.
Waalaikumsalam warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Selamat pagi, very good morning listeners.
With me Ahmad Faisal in the studio of Voice of Indonesia, Pak Aminuddin.
Yeah, thank you Pak Ahmad Faisal.
Okay, so
hope you are well.
How are you today Pak Aminuddin?
I'm very good, thank you, and I hope everybody is also well.
Okay, well, we know that every 17th May, I mean, this is commemorated annually as National Library Day, Pak Aminuddin. So before we talk more about this, actually, how do you see about this anniversary, Pak Aminuddin, especially for this year's theme?
Right. Okay. Thank you, Mas Ahmad Faisal. And also, as I mentioned, good morning, everyone. This is really a good opportunity for me to share our views about the roles of library, especially National Library of Indonesia and also the libraries everywhere. When asked about the roles and also the meaning of this year's anniversary for us, we bring the theme as the library exists for the dignity of the nation. That's what we have launched so far. For us, actually, the anniversary, whenever this has, is a time to reflect and evaluate, meaning that we will have to see what have we done for the last 45 years, because now is the 45th years anniversary of the National Library. And also we will need to reflect and evaluate how well have we served the nations and also the people of Indonesia. And lastly, I would say that for this anniversary, we need to learn what we have planned to improve the quality of our services or the missions in the future. So these are the three substances, three meanings for us for this anniversary.
So what is the meaning, Pa? You said that there has three meanings, that the National Library also would like to have such progress for this year, especially Pa Aminuddin.
As I mentioned, this is kind of reflection. We need to reflect and evaluate what have we done so far, or how well we have served the people and the community and the nation, and lastly, what have we planned for the future so that we can improve the quality of our services to the nation. So these are the three meanings.
Okay, so Pak Aminuddin, is there such kind, I can say, collaboration between National Library with, I mean, International Library?
Oh yes, this library has been established and one of them for the purpose of serving the community, and this is not only by doing or by connecting with libraries in the country, but also to establish collaboration with international libraries. I can say that there are three levels of collaboration that we have at the moment. One is the collaboration with the global, at the global level, meaning that we collaborate, we cooperate, we establish collaboration with libraries anywhere in the world, like what we have so far, for example, with the libraries in the UK, in the France, and also in the Russia, and Saudi Arabia, in Egypt, and some other countries. And we also have collaborations with libraries at the Asia and Oceania countries. And this is under the organization, what we call National Libraries in Asia and Oceania. And the third level of collaboration is among the libraries in the ASEAN countries. And this is accommodated in the what we call as CONSAL, the libraries in Asia, Southeast Asian countries. So these are the three kinds of collaboration that we have so far, three levels.
Okay, so Pak Aminuddin, before we talk more about this, I mean, I believe that there is also such maybe I can say maybe such obligation for all the staffs of National Library, maybe in this case all the staff or officials, that you give such instruction so that not only people outside the National Library staff, but they must also read books in the library itself, Pak Aminuddin. Is there also such an obligation so that all the staff or we officials also must read the book, especially at the place or in the special room in at the library national, Pak Aminuddin?
Well, this is a very good question, and this is very challenging for everyone, especially for the librarians and the staff in the National Library. Well, the value that I have implemented in the library is like this. We would like to invite to ask people to read, and the best way to do this is we give the examples that we are also readers. We have to become the people who read long before the other people read the books, meaning that we give the examples, we read first, and then we can tell, we can share with people that, look, this book is good because of this. This book is recommended because of this value, because of this substance, because of the content of the book. So without reading the books, how can we ask people to read the books while we ourselves do not become the readers? So I always encourage the staff in the library, in the National Library, to read first before asking people to read the books.
That's great, fantastic, Pak Aminuddin. Yeah, before the National Library invite other people, to read. So the staff and also the officials, right. Read firstly, yeah. Pak Aminuddin.
So, yeah.
What about collaboration with?
Because actually, it is.
Yes, go ahead, Pak Aminuddin.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Because library staff are very fortunate because books come first to them, right? So that they have the opportunities to read the book before others, right? So use this opportunity to read the books first, and then ask people to follow what they have read, right?
Okay. Pak Aminuddin, is there also such collaboration with such, some universities in this case, academicians must be able at least to put maybe one or two books that they have already created and put it in the library, National Library, Pak Aminuddin?
Well, actually, there is a regulation that obliges the people, whoever publish the books, and they have been given the ISBN, International Serial Book Numbers, they will have to send two copies to us, right? So whoever, it can be academics, it can be public, it can be anyone, right? Who publish the books and they receive the ISBN from the National Library, they will have to send two copies to our library and one copy to the library in the province. So the books that have been published will be deposited in our library.
Right. Okay. But Aminuddin, if we try to see about the comparison between the visitors of National Library, maybe last year in 2024, maybe a previous year in 2023, or maybe 5 years ago, Pak Aminuddin. So what about the increase, Pak Aminuddin, about the comparison about the increasing number of visitors that came to National Library because of its special programs, Pak Aminuddin?
Well, we are very happy to see the increase in the visitors, in the number of the visitors so far. During COVID era, the number was very small just because of the limitation of the access. But after that, right, from 2022 up to now, the increase is very remarkable. At the moment, for example, our statistics shows that every day, not less than 2,500 people visiting our library. And when we ask why, and also the statistics shows that during weekend time, the number is higher. It can reach more than 3,000 people. We are glad to see this. Why? Because of the various agenda that we have offered to the community. Like we invite parents to get also involved in the reading sessions. We have also film screening. We have also some other games for the families. So libraries are now functioning not only as the venue or the place for books to be stored, but also for making activities for the visitors, including the families. And this is what has become the difference for the library at the moment.
Okay, so far, how do you see about the function, what we call mobile cleaning, Pak Aminuddin? Because we know that sometimes some children cannot reach because of the far situation, or this is very, very far maybe from their places when they cannot reach the National Library. So maybe the function of mobile cleaning also can reach about this target, Pak Aminuddin. So far, what about this target, Pak Aminuddin, from this mobile cleaning function?
It's not only the mobile libraries in the form of the cars and the van, but also the motorcycle. And we have distributed these motorcycles and also the vans to the residences in the remote areas. The objective of this is to reach the people in the remote areas so that they also have the access to the books, to the reading materials. And it's not only that, because of the limitation of the budget, we cannot provide as many as we want, for the cars and also for the motorcycles. But since last year, we also distributed books directly to the villages. We distributed last year, we distributed 1,000 books for each village, up to 10,000 villages in the country. And this year, we also have this kind of program, 10,000 packages to be distributed to villages, to the what we call as the community reading center, or Taman Bacaan Masyarakat, TBM, community reading center, and also to the centers of activities, community centers in the villages. So it's not only the mobile libraries that we have in the form of the vans and the cars or the motorcycles, but also we come directly with the books to the villages so that everybody, every member of the society will have direct access, easier access to the books.
Okay. Yeah, easy books, Aminuddin. So they can read. Do the National Library, does National Library also have a role in educating people in reducing climate change, maybe, Pak Aminuddin, because of their reading, so they understand much more about science and even national disaster about this, Pak Aminuddin?
Well, this is the image that we would like to change, right? That let's change that the vision, the image that library is only a place for storing books. It's not only that, because libraries are actually the place where we can create, we can develop our creativity, we can develop new knowledge, right? And also, this is also to confirm what we have in our mind. And what kind of programs that we have, for example, to reduce the climate change. It's not only about climate change, actually, but also we provide programs to improve the quality of their life skills, right? We have a program under the sponsorship from the Colombo Plan countries, for example, the collaboration with them. We have the library transformation based on social inclusion. We provide the training, we provide the education for them, for the members of the community, to improve their knowledge, to improve their life skills, so that they can, for example, follow up the readings, by creating products, based on their readings. We provide the guidance, we provide the supervision from the process up to the marketing. And regarding the climate change, right, we provide books, right, for not only for adult people, but also from early childhood age, right? And the books contain materials that deal with climate change, the effect of climate change, so that the guidance from the facilitators can tell the readers, young readers, to understand the impact of climate change itself. And they will have to be prepared if they do not, if they are not concerned with climate change. Yeah, we provide books with the topics on climate change.
Okay. Pak Aminuddin, talking about digital book, Pak. Does the library, National Library, also have plan? I don't know this before, actually. I just want to know much more about this. Is there any plan for the National Library to make book as digital, digital books, Pak Aminuddin?
Well, National Library has long been involved in the digitalization of books and also other materials that we have had here. Therefore, the facilities that users can access, for example, through ePusnas. This is the facility where we can provide the collections through online. They can read the books or other materials from this ePusnas, and we also have Kastara. This is Hazanah Naskah Nusantara. The manuscripts from Nusantara area are stored in this Kastara. And if you are interested, if users are interested in knowing more about these manuscripts, the old manuscripts, they can access this through Kastara. Also, we have the Indonesia OneSearch, IOS. This is to access other libraries that have been connected to National Library of Indonesia. And the last one is the e-resources, where we provide journals for the users. So responding to your question, Mas Ahmad, actually National Library of Indonesia has begun this digitalization in the past few years.
So until now and even in the future, the National Library would like and continuously keeps this digitalization, Pak Aminuddin.
Yeah, because we cannot avoid that we are now entering or in the midst of digital era. So we have to work on this style, right? Meaning that, well, we cannot avoid the digital era, and we have to provide this in the materials in digital mode as well.
Okay, so final question, Pak Aminuddin, maybe do you have any messages for Indonesian people so that they are able fully able to read books and even visit National Library, not only come directly and even access by online?
Well, I would like to invite people wherever, especially Indonesian people, to work together with us, access library, use this library as the resources to improve the quality of your life, to improve the quality of your knowledge, and don't forget to tell us if we need to improve the quality of our service, because we would like to give better and better quality of our services in the future. So if you do not tell me, if you do not tell us, so we do not know what we have to improve, right? And thanks to the support for those who have used the library, and we are very glad to have you as our partners.
All right. Thank you very much, Pak Aminuddin Aziz, for your time, special attention to join our Void Talk today.
Yeah, my pleasure, Mas Ahmad.
Thank you. Assalamualaikum, Pak Aminuddin.
Waalaikumsalam warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
Well, listener and also viewers of Voice of Indonesia, that was our special interview with Bapak Aminuddin Aziz as Director of National Library of the Republic of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Kecak is Balinese dance which uses sounds from the mouth without Balinese traditional music. It makes kecak dance different from other dances in general. Kecak dance is performed by male dancers with Balinese clothes. Around 60 to 80 dancers sit in a circle and take turns in producing the sound of kecak in order.
Listener, finally, I am Ahmad Faisal. I would like to say thank you for your time and attention to listen to our program. Have a nice weekend and see you next time.